On our morning show today from WRCO, we welcome some friends into the studio, and we're here to talk about the upcoming show, The Jammers. They will be at the Richland Center City Auditorium on Saturday night at 7 in the historic Richland Center downtown auditorium. Richland County Performing Arts Council, a nonprofit organization, and they've been bringing some great shows to Richland Center. Paul Knorr is a member of that group. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Phil. How are you?
We're doing real well.
Good.
We also have Gary Goodconnect here today, Glenn Alioto, and also we have John Geely. So you brought along some friends today.
I did, yes. I got the G-Man here, our local rock historian, and John and Glenn from the band. So we're looking forward to having the band this Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the City Auditorium in 182 North Central.
Great, so. Great deal. Hey, you've had some good shows since the last time you were on.
This past April, we've had the men's choir. There was a Mennonite choir, and over 500 people showed up for that. And we're getting into some free movies, too. We had a free movie, and we had about 100 people for that. So we're looking. We don't do much in the summer because we don't have air conditioning there, but we're looking. We also had a comedian on Valentine's Day. We had a comedian and drew about 100 people for that. So we're trying to get another comedian going this fall, and we're trying to. Halloween is on a Friday night, and we thought we'd have some sort of movie there on Halloween. So we're taking any suggestions you might have for a Halloween movie. Phil, do you have any suggestions? You got to think about that one.
Night of the Living Dead.
Okay,
how about that?
We do have December 13th. We've rebooked Maggie May for her Christmas special. So, and we are going to have a veterans special on November 8th or 9th. Depending on the Packers schedule, we got to wait till the Packers schedule comes out. We're looking at having a outdoor concert in cahoots with the Wine Walk in September. So we're trying to get some life back into that old building, and I think we're doing a fairly good job of that. So we have a nice board, and we're trying to be active with it. So.
Right, and you have a board that has some new members on it, and they're bringing in some fresh ideas.
Yeah, Dwayne and Shirley Welty, and of course Mick and Robin Cosgrove, and Kent Idset is on there, and Dave Roberts, and my wife and I, and Andrew Sharp, and Bob Frank. So we do have an active board, I think. So, and that is a nice old building, and we're trying to get some life back into it. So. And we're hoping, we believe the Jammers will bring a lot of rock and roll life to it this Saturday night.
Can't wait.
Yes. So
Gary Goodconnect is here. Gary, you've known these guys for a little while.
Yeah, I've just met Glenn just recently. We saw the Jammers last summer in Reedsburg. They're playing over there, an outdoor concert. And the thing that I noticed about them was they're a real fun band. You're going to know every single song. You're probably going to be singing every single song, or at least humming it, or tapping your toe. And they're just the thing I noticed about them. They're a fun band that includes everybody. Anybody that comes is going to have a good time.
When is the first time you saw John Geelig?
Well, funny that you mentioned that. In about 1973, I was home from college, and a friend of mine wanted to go to this new bar down in Fenimore called Tino's. And we went down there, and there was this band that was playing called the Cimarron Show Review. And they were doing something pretty unusual for the 70s. They were playing 60s music, and they had three sets of music they did. They did a Beatles set, a Beach Boys set, and a Four Seasons set, along with other songs from that era. Well, the next couple of years, I got a chance to go down and see them. And I remember one night in particular, I always like to go up and visit the band during the break. And the bass player was over there. And so I thought I'd go and bother him. And it turns out that it was John Geelig. And John has a great voice, a great bass player. But he was going to leave the band to become an optometrist. So I heard him after that, and they were good, but they were still missing that good John Geelig voice. Anyway, time went by, and probably this would be like the early 80s. I had an ex-student that was studying to be an optometric technician, and she was working for the new optometrist in town. She goes, Gary, you gotta hear this guy. You gotta come and meet this guy sometime. Do you have an optometrist? I said, no. So anyway, I made an appointment, and that's how I met John, and we started talking, and music came up, and I said that I'd been in the band. We weren't very good, but he says, well, I was in one too. And he goes, well, what band were you in? And he said, well, you probably haven't heard of us. He said, we were the Cimarron Show Review. Anyway, I just about lost it right there. And besides being a good musician, he ended up being my optometrist until he retired a few years ago, and also a very, very good friend.
If I know you, Gary, you probably went home, you probably had the program at home, and then you brought it right back to show John.
Well, I actually brought some audio visuals along today. We got some old Cimarron Review show bills here that I happened to pick up, and I don't know if I'll read anything off there because John's already pretty red over there in the face, so maybe we'll just leave it at that.
I do want to mention there's $6,000 wardrobe it mentions in there.
$6,000
wardrobe.
Wow.
If you read John's bio, I mean, there's some interesting things in there that maybe we can bring out another time about John's talents besides being a musician.
This is kind of a this is your life for John, I think, isn't it? John Gehlig, good morning. We got to open the microphone so you can defend yourself over here.
Yeah. I don't know where to start. My gosh.
That was quite a buildup.
Yeah, you know, Gary has been not only a good friend, but every time he would come in the office for an eye exam, he would always have a homemade CD that he would hand me, and today was no different. He handed me a CD as soon as he got out of the car.
So there were songs that you knew, though?
Of course, of course, of course. So, yeah.
Did you ever sing I Can See Clearly Now?
We do that song.
With we the tie into optometry.
Yeah, yeah. Good one, Phil.
Thank
Good
you,
one, Phil.
I just thought that. Well, Gary was.
But how about Doctor My Eyes.
Doctor My Eyes is a good one too.
I was in a band with that song too. Once upon a time,
I can see for miles.
I can see for miles.
All right. In fact, I made a whole CD. I could bring that about.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, lots of memories come flooding back. Yeah. Where are you from originally, John?
Waupun, Wisconsin.
Okay,
Waupun, Wisconsin.
Cimarron probably wasn't your first band, though, was it?
No, actually, started back when we were ninth graders, probably, the Beatles came to America, and it just caught a number of us, and we had to go out and get guitars and try to form our own band. And we did, and we all came to the first practice with acoustical guitars, and they said, well, this isn't going to work. Somebody has to be a bass player. And I got the short straw on that one and became the group's bass player. And we played for high school dances after football games and basketball games. Went off to college at UW Oshkosh and played in bands as a freshman and sophomore. And then there was an advertisement for the auditioning of a bass player for the Cimarron Show Review. And it was the only time I ever auditioned for a rock band. Usually it's, you know, we start in the garage and move from there. And so it was a great 2-year run with Cimarron, and then I went off to optometry college after that, quit the band, and moved to Richland Center back in 1978. And so here I am today.
The rest is history. You kind of probably at the time thought everybody had forgotten about that previous life then, right?
Unfortunately, there's one person that hasn't.
Where Cimarron Show Review, though, I remember hearing about them, you know, in radio ads and seeing the ads. What was the distance that you played, the radius that you played in?
Pretty much Wisconsin and Illinois. You know, we would go down as far as maybe Champaign-Urbana in Illinois. And do you remember Marty Zifko's Ballroom?
I do. We've been there.
We played there a couple
Bert
of times.
There.
We did.
Okay. We've played there a couple of times. But as Gary said, it was just a band. I learned a lot about bands and audiences from Cimarron. They knew what the people wanted to hear. They played what they wanted to dance to. And as a result, they were successful. I've been in bands earlier before that played kind of what we wanted to hear and play, and not as successful, I guess. So learned a lot from Cimarron.
Did you ever do any originals that you wrote?
Actually, the guitar keyboard player from Cimarron went on to not only record some originals, but he actually ended up working, I think, for one of the record producers out of California, and he's still in California right now. So, yeah.
I noticed in the photograph of the Jammers, you have a Hofner bass.
I do.
A Paul McCartney.
It is a Paul McCartney 40th anniversary edition.
Wow.
I bought it in, I think it was in 2002, which would have been 40 years from 1962. And Still play it.
Do you play it left-handed?
I wish I could. I have difficulty playing it right-handed.
Let's bring Glenn into the conversation as well. Glenn, good morning. Where are you from originally?
Thanks for having us here today.
You bet.
Born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And like a lot of guys in high school, started a rock band, but kind of continued it after high school and formed a three-piece band called Skyline. Later on, we added a fourth member. And we, much like Doc's, I call him Doc John, but we call him Doc because we have another John in the band. So if I say Doc, you know who I'm talking about. But much like Doc's background, musical background, after high school, we continued playing and played a lot of different clubs, Marty Zivko's as well, in around the Wisconsin area. And later on, started toning it down a little bit, got married, and thought I'd tone it down, start having kids. So he kind of left that rock scene, played in a duo called Two for the Road. Later on, joined a contemporary Christian band, and we did prison ministry, played at church. During the holiday seasons, Christmas, Easter, we could get by playing at the Mitchell Airport and the malls. Later on, my wife and I, we led worship at the church for many years. And once I retired, we moved out to the Richland Center area here in the Driftless area that they call it now. They didn't call it back in the day, but now it's the Driftless area. And met Doc maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And started playing and started getting other members, and the Jammers were kind of formed.
Was it kind of like, hey, man, let's form a band?
Sort of, yeah. We started off with like, there was a group of folks out in the Dutch Hollow area that would get together once a week to get together and sing the oldies and songs that we all know and love. And there'd be a few of us on the guitar, and then a couple more would come in, then John joined in on bass. And a few more, then drums. And then we thought, you know, hey, if we practiced a lot, we could maybe perform in front of people. And so it kind of morphed into that. It was the Dutch Hollow Jammers, and now we just kind of make it the Jammers. And as Doc said, Gary, we've played in Reedsburg and some of the surrounding towns at the parks and such. And as Gary mentioned, it's good songs that everybody just, they're singing. I'm looking out there and they're mouthing the words, singing the words, which makes me a little nervous because then it's like, I got to know the words. These guys know the words. Help me out. So, yeah, it's good if, you know, toe-tapping, finger-snapping songs that people just enjoy, and we all have a good time, the band and the audience, and we just feed off of each other and have a great time.
The band can't afford a teleprompter for you, and just in case you forget the words?
Been talking about that. It would be nice, I think, to have a little monitor out in front. Yeah. That would be nice. We cheat, I think, and I have a music stand that I can try to look over once in a while to remind me what the next words are.
Tell us about the playlist for the Jammers. Kind of what era are we talking about here?
We do a lot of, here we are back playing the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, just songs that we all grew up with and remembered. Here again, like, of course, you can never go wrong with doing some of the old Beatles stuff. The Beach Boys, Johnny Rivers, The Monkees, Lovin' Spoonful, One Hit Wonders, you know, the Doobie Brothers. So a lot of different songs, a lot of different music that people just enjoy, that we grew up with and can sing along.
The other thing I noticed from your poster, Glenn, is you had two guys holding sticks. So you've got two drummers.
We do have two drummers up there. They all bring something. They both of them bring something unique to the beat of the music going on. I figured we have two Johns, two guitar players. We may as well have two drummers up there also. And there's been a couple of groups out there, the Doobie Brothers, the Allman Brothers, that have had two drummers as well.
Yeah, they have. And I think about some of the songs you got on here. Not all of them are that easy to play.
Yeah, like I said, we all started with kind of your simpler, easier, maybe folk song sing-alongs. Mm-hmm. And as we've gotten together, and we've been playing maybe 4 or 3 years,
yeah,
that we started getting a little more intricate, maybe in the music, working more on the vocals and such. And it's nice to challenge ourselves musically, vocally, instrumentally. It's like golf. It's kind of a sport against challenging yourself. The music is my sport to challenge myself. It's my workout to sit down and try to work out these songs and make them presentable for an audience.
One time way back in the day, John, I tried to take guitar lessons, and one of the first books I bought was a Beatles book.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe how difficult, you know, what chord is that?
Right.
I mean, the Beatles were not easy to replicate, right?
No, there's a number of things about the Beatles. One is their voices. They sing very high. Some of the Beatles songs that we're doing, we've actually, in some cases, lowered them a step or two just to vocally challenge the song. Regarding the singing, Glenn has a great voice. His wife is in the band, Betty. Betty has an amazing voice. Betty's sister, Lynn, is in the band. So the two women just add a nice complement to the song. So we can pull off songs like Linda Ronstadt's Heat Wave and My Guy or Build Me Up Buttercup. These are not songs that you would normally hear from other traveling groups like ours, and so it just adds a nice dimension, and not to mention their harmonies, you know, to the song. So yeah,
I've mentioned this before on my program, but I'm so impressed that songs like Build Me Up Buttercup, Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline,
yes,
you know, they're 55, 60 years,
yes,
old, and the whole stadium is singing the songs.
Yes, yes.
You know?
I would say with Sweet Caroline, I mean, we get the entire audience involved, the entire crowd with the hand waving and whatever.
So, yeah. So good. So good.
Is it kind of like a fountain of youth, Glenn?
A fountain of youth. It keeps you young.
There you go.
Yes, it does. Definitely keeps you young. I'm maybe, my wife's a little younger than me. But we are, but we're up there. We have a banner that says like, 60s, 70s, 80s. And I says, that's not the music we play. That's our ages. So yeah, we have Dave Gorick on the drums.
Okay.
And my brother-in-law, Betty's brother, Richie Potter-Wilson on drums. Dave Garner on electric guitar.
John Garner.
John Garner, yep. Excuse me. John Garner on electric guitar. And Larry Vitello on ukulele and harmonica.
Which adds a nice dimension.
That's, yes, unique, isn't it?
It is different. And he's amplified, electrified. And so, some unique musicians, unique voices, and a great group to play with.
When you first put the jammers together, was it kind of a headlight or a light bulb going on? Like, wow, this thing might work.
Not so much it might work. It kind of morphed into it. It's like, this is working. This feels good. This feels right. And we're having a good time. And as long as we're having a good time, we'll keep on doing it. And as long as the audience is having a good time, I hope they just come out and keep coming out, and I hope we can get a few hundred there in the auditorium, because it's a great cause. It's a nice gem here in Richland Center.
You have some people related to you in the band too. I have to think that some of your family get-togethers were kind of musical over the years.
Well, yes, as I stated, yeah, I got my wife, and then my wife's sister Lynn and brother Richie are in the band,
yeah,
as well. So yeah, a little family affair.
Were your children aware of your musical past when you kind of got back into it, or?
Yes, they're very aware of it right now. But yeah, as the kids were growing up, I wasn't in the rock band back then, but had a few stories to tell them. Our oldest daughter, came out to, Summerfest and things like that when we played there. But we had some stories to, tell them, some stories that we maybe didn't want to tell them as well.
Growing up in the Milwaukee area, I mean, it was really a hotbed for music and talent and things like that. Were you ever on the stage with another group? Like, did you open up for somebody that was famous over the years?
One interesting story. There was a battle of the bands at a place called Fantasies in Milwaukee. And we were up against several popular bands in the Milwaukee area. One that was just coming in was a group called the Violent Femmes. Wasn't really my type of group. It was like a folk punk band. And we were up against them that night. Well, we happened to have our entourage, our groupies, our gang there at the club. So we won. But if you know anything about the Violent Femmes, it was like a month later, they were playing at they were backing up the Pretenders at the Oriental Theater. And before I know it, they're playing Carnegie Hall and touring Japan some years later. So that was fun, sitting in the back room with the Violent Femmes and saying, oh, good luck out there. And they practically got almost booed off the stage. People weren't really interested in them. But yeah, they went on to stardom, and we just kind of stayed locally, but had a good time. We had a good time nonetheless.
For a punk band, getting booed was kind of like getting applause back in the day.
Yeah,
I think
maybe,
it really was.
Right.
You had to put safety pins through your cheeks.
Yeah, when I heard them, I said, these guys are different. They're going to go somewhere, and sure enough, they did.
They did. Hit it big with a big album right away.
Yeah.
So, good. Gary, you've been listening to the conversation over there quite patiently. You probably wanted to interject.
I'm enjoying listening to this. I mean, I knew a lot about John's history, but Glenn, you've got a great history too, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And I may have seen you at Henix Bar or the Wright Bauer back in the day, Glenn.
Well, that was interesting. So, as you know, growing up, first of all, my family brought me out here when I was about 10 years old. We actually camped over there at the park in Richland Center. So that was kind of my first to see Richland Center and the areas. Just loved the hills and such. Then as I grew up and my buddies, we'd come out about 16, we'd all pile into one's car and we'd go out to Viola and we'd camp out there at their county park. And then later on, I bring my wife out and we'd camp, canoe the Kickapoo, Pine River. And with the group after high school and we're playing Milwaukee area, we said, well, let's play out in the Driftless area. And we'd play at during the summer, we'd book about once a month. We'd come out, play at the bar, and then camp as well. And we played at Henix. There was Betty Henick out there, Paul Henick, FF. We'd play at the Wright Bauer out in Mauston. That was another one we'd play. So got the band out here and just always enjoyed the area. And that's why when I retired, it's just neat to see how the Lord has brought me from coming out here as a kid and then coming out here in my retired years, as well as playing out here in high school, after high school, and playing out here now when I'm in my later 60s. It's just neat to see. I look back and see how the Lord moved in my life throughout growing up and playing out musically as well.
Absolutely. You're a survivor of all that, aren't you?
Yeah. yes, praise the Lord for that, yes.
John, certainly, as you look back on your past, too, you've been in a number of bands over the years, different styles, maybe some country along the way, a little bit of everything.
My most recent, of course, a well-known name to you is the Dan Koba and the Journeyman Band. I was with them for 5 years and enjoyed my time with them. I want to say that Paul Noer had a lot to do with the fact that I was in that band.
I never did get my finder's fee.
Finder's fee.
But it was a great run. What was good about the Dan Koba band, besides the originals that Dan would write, would be we would go up to a recording studio in La Crosse and kind of put down the basic tracks of his songs, and those were all good years. Also played in some bands just into college called the Buzz Band. Played with some really good musicians during that time. And yet when I moved out to Richland Center back in 1978 to start my practice as an optometrist, it was devoid of music involvement for about 30 years. I think I was just too busy getting the business started, raising a family, like Glenn said in his case too. And then 2010, 2015, that's when I got back into the music and got into a band out of Portage with actually a brother-in-law who was also an optometrist called Late for Dinner. We came to Richland Center and played an event or two.
I think you played at Blue Highways once.
At Blue Highways?
Yeah.
A real good vocal band. And so I'm still on the fringes of that band. It's still kind of coming back for some benefits that they're doing. So, yeah, it's been a fun 10, 15 past years.
And, John, you played when you were in... Didn't you play at Richland Center High School when you were in the Buzz Band? Can you tell them that story?
this is a quiz.
It's a good story, yeah. Though.
This is your life, John.
Yeah, but you played at Richland Center High School.
Yeah, you know,
prom or homecoming,
when I moved to Richland Center, I was attending a basketball game in the old high school gymnasium. And I said to my wife, I said, I've been here before. I know I've been here before. And it all came back to me. We were the featured band for maybe prom or one of the dances. And I can remember talking to our roadman at that time after we were setting up. I shouldn't admit this. I said, can you go out and find us a six-pack of beer? And he came back saying, you won't believe this.
Yeah. Not in the city anyway.
You won't believe this. So yes, we did come back and play at the high school. Yes.
Kind of unique. Good story.
Yeah. That is awesome. You know, and you look at your years through college, was there ever a time when you thought, well, maybe I should pursue this musically or were your parents encouraging you to stay in school?
Another good story, Phil. Another good story. So the band, the Cimarron Shore Review, was trying their hardest to keep me in the band and not go on to optometry. And I understood that. And I actually wanted to stay in the band, but I knew what was probably best for me. So they got me to the point of going back to the director of admissions at the Illinois College of Optometry and saying, I proposed this idea. I said, I'm in this musical group that's making money so I could help pay my education. Could I just stay out 1 year from my acceptance in optometry school and come the following year? And the director of admission looked at me kind of puzzled and said, let me see if I got this right. You were selected out of one out of every 10 people to come in and you don't want to come? All we can promise you is that your name will be thrown back in the hat next year. Maybe it'll be drawn again, maybe it won't. And I said, that's all I needed to hear. I'm coming. So I quit the band and enrolled that fall in optometry. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
As he was talking about his bands, Gary, you and I have a mutual friend in Madison. And I asked him one time, I said, hey, are you still in a band? He said, I'm in four of them and they're all broken up. So the life of a band person is kind of unstable sometimes.
It is.
True. We'll be back with more in a moment. We talk about the Jammers coming up at the Richland Center City Auditorium this very Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Tickets at the door, just $10. And we'll have more from John Geely, Glenn Alioto, Paul Knorr, and Gary Goodkinick when we return. Hard Day's Night from the Beatles. Is that your closing song, John?
That is our closing song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Hard Day's Night.
Why did you choose that? Just on the title?
Just on the title.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it we'll do encores after that, but that usually is our closing song, yeah.
I saw you doing the air bass, you know? I wondered if actual musicians
do that. I never make any mistakes on my air bass.
I always play the air guitar, but never learned the real one. That's good stuff, though. But, you know, again, it keeps you young. I'm guessing you see, like, all ages in your audiences, don't you?
We do. It's neat to see at a Concerts in the Park, for example. There'll be people that'll get up and dance, and it'll be of all ages. And it kind of keeps us pumped up for the job, you know. Plus, we have a couple of people in our band, Glenn being one of them, our harp player being another, Larry. They think nothing of going out in the audience with, you know, guitars, and they're not wired up, you know, they're wireless.
Wireless, yeah.
And one time I looked to my right and I saw Glenn on top of a picnic table playing his guitar. And it was like, okay, this is why we're a fun band. You know?
They have security too.
Is that true, Glenn?
Well, yeah, sometimes, yeah. If there's a picnic table, look out, yeah.
Wow.
I'll try not to kick off the burgers or chips off the table, but I'll try to be careful. Yeah, I'm getting a little older. Getting to the top of the table and jumping off of that might be a little dangerous now. So I might just go for the seat and jump off from the seat. But yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, we have a whole array of ages, you know, young and old. And what I find interesting, they're all enjoying it, but the young people also mouthing the words and singing along to the old Beatles, to the Turtles, Lovin' Spoonful. They know these songs as well. So that's really neat to see them singing along with the songs that we're doing. Everybody singing along.
Does the band travel with a physician or a trainer or anything like that?
No. But there was another member of the band I have to give a shout out to, and that's our sound engineer, Tom Keller. Without him, we'd be sounding like a little transistor radio, and he really makes the sound come alive and bring it out to the people so that that they get to hear it and hear it properly.
John, I notice a lot of the songs have a lot of harmony. I think you're a fan of those kind of songs, aren't you?
I am, right. I think all the bands that I've been, most of the bands, they were heavily on the vocals, and I owe it to Glenn and his wife Betty. They map out the vocal parts, and well, sometimes just have a vocal practice without any instrumentation, maybe just one guitar. But I think, you know, I think that's what the audiences want to hear. They want to hear the words. They want to be able to hear the voices and sing along with us.
When you were in the Cimarron Show Review, you did a Four Seasons set. That was not easy, I'm sure.
That was not easy at all. As a matter of fact, I don't think I had listened to any Four Season tunes before auditioning for the band. So those were all new to me. But I grew to love the Four Seasons because of their harmonies, you know. Big Man in Town, all these numbers. Yeah.
Did you do the Frankie Valli part or not?
No. Can't get that high.
I see Frankie just turned 90 or something.
Did he just turn 90? Yeah, wow. Isn't that amazing? And today Bob Seger is 80.
Oh.
Today, you know, and you think about that when we were younger, to think about somebody out there still touring at 80 years old, John.
Right.
That was unheard of, right?
Steve Miller, I think, is touring, and
as long as people are willing to shell out the money, they'll keep playing.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Glenn and his picnic table routines, I was just thinking, how are we going to apply that to the auditorium? But I think he's got some ideas.
We did take some of the front seats out, so there is a dance floor.
Oh, great.
If anybody wants to dance, they're welcome to get up and dance.
But I can also see Glenn running up and down the aisles, you know.
maybe we'll bring a picnic table in.
We do have a defibrillator there.
That's a good thing. Glenn, you mentioned the Violent Femmes, and I was thinking if they've got that seat out, they used to body surf. So you could jump off the stage and have people pass you back. Into the mosh pit,
No thanks. Doc mentioned, though, about the harmonies. Throughout this winter, we've been tweaking harmonies and working on the harmonies more. It really made me appreciate what the bands were doing back then, the Beach Boys and the Beatles. And these guys are in their, you know, teens and 20s. And it just really made me appreciate what they're doing. Like you mentioned, you had a Beatles book and the chords in there. They're just, okay, what chord is that? And I've been playing since 12 years old. And yesterday I was listening to a song and how to play it. And I'm like, I never played an E chord in that position and that way. So I'm still learning, like, and that's how they were playing it. Okay. I never played it that way. That's interesting. And the working out these harmony parts, like, okay, they're singing that over that. How interesting is that? And how did they come up with it? Did they invent it? And some were original. Some they gleaned from or stole from or borrowed from your musicians back from the 40s and 50s, some of the old blues players and stuff. That's one thing we also do, excuse me, in some of our songs, the old songs. Well, we'll slip maybe something a little newer from the 80s or 90s because it's the same chord progression or the same type of chord or the same beat that was done in the 50s. So not that nothing new is invented, but a lot of times stuff is borrowed from music past.
I show my age when somebody asks me about a new song, John. They'll be like, oh, what do you think? And, you know, for me, it's all about the melody, and that's what all of these songs have in common. They all had great, unique melodies, didn't they?
They did. And what Glenn was saying, too, is we'll take, like, Stuck in the Middle with You and finish it with Taking Care of Business. You know, so it's just kind of a vamping
from
one.
That song is in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I heard it. I said, let's roll into Taking Care of Business. And then fall back into Stuck in the Middle with You.
We finish with the last verse of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you don't even think about it, but they are a little bit similar. And
there's similar beats, similar chords. Yeah.
What's your favorite song to play in the band, Glenn? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, kind of, and it's kind of an odd one. The Happy Song. It's one that was played on one of the Minion movies that I like. Happy, you're happy, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Yeah, just a good clap. Yeah, it's just a fun song.
Happy.
Not the greatest written song, maybe, or chords or lyrics, but it's just a song I have a lot of fun with.
One that everybody seems to know.
And they can clap along, and kind of the younger generation know it, and maybe your grandkids even know it because it's from, you know, one of the I think, like, the first Minion movie.
Right.
Yeah. What about you, John? Is there a favorite?
You know, I guess I favor songs that have great bass lines. And Paul McCartney is my hero. And yeah. So a tune like All My Lovin' by the Beatles, it just has this really nice walking bass playing throughout the song. You know, the Doobie Brothers, Listen to the Music. Those would be some of my favorites. Yeah.
Listen to the Music is, you know, the lyrics in there are just really, they're timeless, aren't they?
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah.
And Build Me Up Buttercup, too, has got a pretty interesting bass line.
It sure does. They let me start that song.
Do they? You get your solo.
That reminds me, did you know that Mom asked Little Johnny what he wanted to be when he grew up? And Little Johnny thought a while, and he said, I want to be a bass player when I grow up. His mom said, Johnny, you can't do both.
Sheesh. I've got a question to ask John. And what song do you guys think that you get the most response from in terms of people getting up and moving? I know there's probably a lot of them, but is there any one in particular that really seems, people, they start clapping and really moving, or are they all that way?
I'm going to have to go with Sweet Caroline. Okay. I just, you know, it's a crowd pleaser. It's a crowd participator. And we get them moving.
Would you agree?
As well, yeah, Sweet Caroline. Another one that I like and I think is a good one is Mountain of Love. Good clapping one.
Johnny Rivers
starts off with a nice bass line as well. Gets the crowd clapping. Nice background harmonies going on that one. A little back and forth singing. Fun song.
It's going to come to life at the auditorium. John, have you played at the Richland Auditorium very much?
Played there once with the Dan Koba Band back last fall for the Veterans performance. It's a great venue. Looking out over the audience and, you know, it's historic. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, enjoyed it a lot.
Have you played there before, Glenn?
Well, actually, my wife and I, we sang in a choir there up in the balcony during a performance of, they had the Last Supper going on.
Oh, I was in that. Okay. I was the apostle, one of the apostles.
One of the apostles.
So I was Simon the Zealot.
Very good, Simon. And they would have, as you know, then the freeze frame.
Yeah.
And it was very good. And yeah, my wife and I, we were actually up there in the balcony.
Awesome. Well, we probably met before and didn't even realize that.
Singing that. So. And, yeah, it's a great venue and great privilege to play there. Looking forward to it. I'd like to give a shout out to Hillsborough out there. Like, if you were in at the Henix Barn when we were playing out there in the 80s and you saw Skyline, make sure you come on down to Richland Center and it'll be a blast from the past, and would love to meet you again.
You can give some autographs then too.
Well,
right,
I'd just love to meet them again. Reminisce, have some stories to tell.
When I've stood on the stage of the auditorium, you look out there and I'm sure it's not similar, but in my mind it is. It almost looks like the Ed Sullivan Theater when the Beatles were playing, and yes, you know, you've got that shot of them from behind, and you've got the balcony up there and everything. You guys will have a flashback maybe when you're on the stage Saturday night.
Probably.
Right?
You know, the other shout out is we'll be back. The band, the Jammers, will be back for RC Thunderfest on Saturday, June 28th. I think we go on maybe about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I hope to see everybody out there for that one as well.
Might be a little warmer that day.
It'll be a lot warmer.
Gary, anything you wanted to add here this morning?
No, I've enjoyed my time here just listening to you guys. I mean, like I said, I knew a lot about John's history, but I learned a lot from Glenn, and like I said, when I heard them last year, they really impressed me, and I think anybody that goes, they're just going to have a good time. And I think that's what it's all about, having fun.
You guys wear any of the vintage uniforms that you had in some of your past bands or not?
$6,000 wardrobe.
$6,000 wardrobe?
Knock it off.
No, actually, no. I think
we're just going to come as common folk.
Common folks.
Common folk, yes.
There's a picture of the Cimarron Show Review that our radio audience can't see, but I presume that was polyester, was that, or what was that?
Sure it was polyester.
Bell-bottoms.
Bell-bottoms, and pretty swanky.
And long hair.
And long hair.
Big hair.
And Glenn, you said you played with a vest with no shirt. Is that?
Oh, did you catch that? You were supposed to be listening.
But
that
not,
was kind of my
attire. Not this Saturday night, though.
No, thank you.
Oh, I just hope people will come out and see the show, The Jammers.
I sure do, because, you know, it's a day before Mother's Day. It's a great opportunity for you kids. Grab mom, bring her out. Husbands, bring your wife out. I was reading up on the auditorium. It opened up in the March of 1913, And it was really started, it was by the Women's Federated Club. And if it wasn't for these group of women, it would have never started. They said they saw that Richland Center needed this new civic center. So they thought, okay, well, we need a new city hall, but we also want something more where we can have a larger group of people to gather and hear what's going on in town. And so they created this auditorium, and it was the first one built in Wisconsin with public funds. First auditorium built in Wisconsin of public funds. And since, I think it's kind of appropriate since it's Mother's Day weekend and it was started by a bunch of moms, it'd be a great time to just come out, bring mom, and have a good time.
Well said. Anything else anybody else would like to add?
I think we're good.
Good to see you. All right. Thanks a lot for coming
Thanks,
in today.
Phil.
You bet.
You.
The
Thanks
Jammers coming up Saturday night at the Richland Center City Auditorium, 7 o'clock, $10 tickets at the door. Thanks to John Gielig, Glenn Alioto, Paul Knorr, and Gary Goodconnect for a delightful morning show today.